Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here in God's presence this morning. And we're carrying on with the book of Revelation. We're on the seventh and final church. Week 15, study 15, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 22. The church at Laodicea. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we hear a lot about the Laodicean church today. We hear people preaching about it. They say that we're in the Laodicean age, which is very true, because we are in the days of the great apostasy, where many are departing from the faith. But thank God he's moving by Spirit throughout the earth, and many are becoming born again by the millions as well. So these two things are happening at the same time. Now, Laodicea was a banking city, an extremely wealthy place. It was situated on the bank of a river and stood at the junction of three great roads traversing Asia Minor. It became a large commercial and administrative centre. But the problem with this church was they'd become proud and self-satisfied. And they actually thought that they had it all. They were a church that were not abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ. And if we turn to John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse 1, it actually says, Jesus is the true vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And it's all about Jesus being the vine and the born-again church, individual Christians, abiding in the vine Christ. Because apart from him, we can't do anything at all, and we will not bear fruit. And this church had stopped abiding in the vine, and they were not bearing fruit. They were blind to their spiritual condition, and it needed a word from God to point out and expose the sin in the lives, and so that they could have an opportunity by the grace of God to repent and get right with God. And I believe that this word is very relevant to many churches today that are self-satisfied. They think because they've got all the wonderful choir or the nice church building, plenty of money in the bank, they've become wealthy, they've got people that give plenty of money to the church and everything else, and they've got all different ministries running. But many of these churches today, you know, they're trusting more in their organisational skills and abilities and in their wealth and lots of other things to make their church function. And they've lost contact with the vine. They're not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're too busy for Jesus. And we should never be too busy for Jesus. We can be so taken up with church activity. We can be taken and Christian activity that we do not have time for Jesus. To put all these things aside and spend some quality time with him. And not bringing a whole list of prayer requests, but just sitting still and enjoying the presence of the Lord and his glory. And worshipping him for who he is. And, you know, enjoying his holiness. So much so that we're not talking all the time. We're listening. And we're just being still in the presence of God. Be still in the presence of the Lord, for the glory of God is here. So, a church not abiding in Christ the vine. Read John 15 again. Meditate on these scriptures. And not only meditate and read, but let them go deep down inside and apply them to your life. And let them become part and parcel of your life. Because apart from him, we can do nothing at all. And if we do not abide in the vine, we do not have the anointing, we will not bear fruit. And we will be a church that has got plenty of activity. But it's not the activity of Christ. It's not the activity that's been inspired by the Lord by being in his presence. It's human. And I'm afraid to say many churches today have become like a club. And it's almost like a social club. And God never intended his church to become a social club. And this church here become a wealthy social club. Probably, I can imagine, when a church becomes worldly, there's always that which looks like a hierarchy. You know, I've been here longer, you know, and I put more money into this church, so I've got a greater standing with the minister or with God. And then new people that come in, they're made to feel inferior and so on. This is not the way the church should function. This is not abiding in Christ the vine, because when we abide in Christ the vine, everybody's on the same footing and we respect and love one another and humble ourselves to one another. And there's a sweetness of Jesus and his love in that church. Now, this is the ruler of God's creation speaking directly to this church. His name is Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, through him, and for him, to the glory of the Father. And he was exposing their spiritual condition. They were conceited. They thought they had it all. And I've met actual ministers, and I won't mention any names today, who actually think and speak like that, become as full of spiritual pride. And they think their organization, you know, is the elite of God. And I thought, if you only really knew, you know, if you, we do not act like that or boast like that before God. Because when we do, we've lost it all. And basically, we're just another organization without Christ. You know, Jesus said that he could actually remove the lampstand from a church. And he said, if you don't repent to a church, he said, I'll remove your lampstand, because it's he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The lampstands represent the churches. And the lampstands have the oil of the Holy Spirit and bring the light of Christ to the world. If he removes that lampstand, the light has gone out. And in this church, the light was completely, you know, it was, I believe that the light had gone out in this church. Because, why do I say that? Because they said, I am rich. I've acquired wealth. And I do not need a thing. In other words, they become so wealthy, they didn't have to rely on God for money. You know, we always need to rely on God and abide in the Lord. We can never come to a place in our experience where we say we don't need to rely on God anymore. That's not right. You see, the moment we do that, we become cold, we become hard-hearted, we become calloused, and we become abrasive, and we become those people, you know, in churches where the sinners outside say, well, if that's going to church, I don't want to be there because they're hypocrites. And the fact is that many of these sinners that say that are right when they state that they're hypocrites, because they sense hypocrisy there. They sense that veneer of self-righteousness and snobbery and pride. And they say, I don't want anything to do with it. There's nothing of Christ there. I want to be treated properly with respect, not patronized. And so we really have to abide in Jesus Christ, because if we do, then we're going to have the quality and fruit of the Spirit that people, you know, like to be with. Like, they wanted to be with Jesus, the people, because he had the fruit of the Spirit. He was kind, he was gentle, he was loving, he was truthful, he was righteous, and he was honest. And when you looked at him, it was the truth. And that's what people outside the church today need to see in people in the church. They need to see truth. They need to see the qualities of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and it's all about abiding him to be like Christ, to bear the fruit that he bore, so that people, so that we're approachable for Jesus, for people to say, well, you know, I don't always like what you say, but I know that you speak from your heart. And if they listen to you, they're going to know that they're hearing from God. Because you're born again, you're receiving the words of Jesus Christ, and you're offering them the words of life. The Bible says, holding out the word of life, so that people will be saved. And so they said, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, do not need a thing. Laodicea was an arrogant, self-sufficient church in an affluent city. Then the Lord shone his searchlight of truth on them. How many Christians and churches are like this today, full of conceit, snobbery and pride? Yes, I know a few myself. Normal snobbery is bad enough, but to see it in an individual or a Christian mixed with spiritual snobbery is a lethal concoction. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God refers to Jesus Christ as the source and cause of creation. Faithful and true witness is God's plumb line for the church. Jesus Christ was the faithful and true witness. Now, this church at Laodicea were not faithful and they were not true witnesses. They were bad witnesses. They were like a bowed and or a crooked wall in comparison. They didn't match up, you know, to the plumb line of the Word of God. They did not have these God-given qualities of being faithful and true. They were unaware of their condition. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. This was the truth speaking, coming from the source of truth, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Their real condition was shown to be one of poverty in spite of their money. Now, this place, Laodicea, was a banking center and extremely wealthy. And this church was a wealthy church in the midst of all this. And yet he said, you're poor, blind and naked. Nakedness, he said, you're naked despite the abundance of cloth. Because this city, this place, Laodicea, manufactured clothing and woolen carpet. And yet Jesus said, you're naked. Jesus said they were blind, although they had many physicians, because it had a medical school. Laodicea was noted for producing a salve for curing eyes for eye disorders, and yet Jesus said, you're blind. Now, these words of Jesus would have been so relevant to that church at that time, but they're relevant to us today when we understand what it's saying. God, in his grace and mercy, was calling the church to repentance, to get right with him, because his grace was still there, and in his mercy was given a forthright message to get right with God. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. White clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful. These people have become, fancy that, a church that was once born again becoming a self-righteous church. But that's what God was saying to them. He said you need to be clothed again with the righteousness of Christ. And let it be his righteousness, not your own self-righteousness. This can happen. There are many Christians today who are conceited, proud and snobs who are self-righteous. And they think they're so wonderful because they go to church. We all have to examine our hearts before God. This is why I'm saying we need to spend time with God. Put aside all your prayer requests. Put aside everything else that would hinder you from being still before God, and just wait before Jesus and spend time in fellowship with him. And I can say one thing, after spending time with him, You know, you will come out in relationship with him and intimate fellowship with him, and you'll know what is right and wrong. And if there's anything of snobbery, pride, conceit, self-righteousness in you, by being in his presence, you will see it, because you're in the presence of holiness, and holiness exposes sin. So that's why we need to spend time with God. Don't be too busy for God. Sometimes Christians will be so busy, and people can be, they're very busy, 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 because they don't want to be even still with themselves, because they don't want to actually look at themselves. And being in the presence of God, we actually look at ourselves. We look at him, but then we're looking in a mirror, and we're actually looking at ourselves. Some, I believe Christians do not want to do that, because they're frightened of what they might see. But I want to say, in the presence of God, there's a cleansing blood, there's a grace of God to help us to get right with God, so that we may walk out of his presence holy, clean, and clothed with his righteousness. Gold refined in the fire. He's saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, so that he can do an inner work of refining and renewing of your mind. That's what it's speaking about, gold refined in the fire. This church needed a fresh cleansing, a purging with the fire of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, he's come to baptize you with fire. It's an inner work of the refining process of the Spirit of God. You can't see your condition. You know, many people see your condition before you can. You can't see your condition, but others can see through the pseudo mask. It's sad to know, and it's an abomination. It really is offensive to be in the presence of pseudo-Christians. They put on a front. It's a mask. And behind it all is conceit, snobbery, pride, and self-righteousness. God is saying, take the mask off. Get real. A lot of people that might hear this word today don't like it, because maybe you're one of those. A self-righteous, pseudo-religious person. You need to repent before God and get your heart right with him. Be real. Get real with Jesus. Because unless you're real with Jesus, people will not see truth or reality in you. They'll see hypocrisy. They can see. Sinners can see more than you can see if you're in that condition. We'll see through the mask. They'll see through the front. So, he said to them, you're neither cold nor hot. Now, cold springs are refreshing. They're lovely to drink from. You've got a glass and you put it under that cold spring in it, and you drink that water, it's refreshing. Hot mineral springs are medicinal. But he said, you're neither cold, like the refreshing springs, and you're neither hot, like the mineral springs that are medicinal, all with a purpose to, you know, for good. But he said, you're lukewarm. And he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm is nauseating. And so this is why we need to get right with God. The Amen is the God of truth. This is the Amen speaking. You can look in Revelation 1:6, Isaiah 65:16. And he, the Amen, is the guarantor of all God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, Christ, Amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen, so be it. Through Jesus, believers say Amen. And I want to say today, all his promises in the word, when he speaks and sends his letter to the ladies in church, which is for the church today, if we listen to it and humble ourselves to do it and do what it says, I can say, Amen, so be it, that he will fulfill all the good things he has planned for your life. But if we carry on and rejecting the truth and say, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I've got itching ears. I want to listen to somebody else say things that are nice, pleasing things to me. But I don't want to address my sin. Then we will just, there's no amen to you. There's no so be it. Because you will not grow. You will stay in that condition. And you'll stay, you know, with the door closed. Closing out the Lord. You actually, when you find yourself in that position, you've actually shut Jesus out of your life. This is how serious the situation is. Because in verse 20 of Revelation chapter 3, and there are many churches today that are functioning, and they appear, it's an appearance, like the Scribes and Pharisees, you know, they had all the religious attire, they had the buildings, the synagogues, and everything looked all right on the outside, but God saw the heart, and many people saw their hypocrisy. They're afraid to say anything because of the persecution they would get from them. But you know, many Christians today have become like the scribes and Pharisees and churches as well. There are many that haven't. But this word is addressed to those. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To think that he's speaking to the born-again church that shut him out. And he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's a terrible place to be in, isn't it? And to think that we're doing all this activity and saying we're actually saying the Lord has said, and we're ministering God's word, and we're saying, oh, you know, we're doing all these activities for the Lord, so we think, and that the Lord is waiting outside the church door. We've shut him out like a stranger, like a foreigner. And he's not allowed in, and we're doing our own thing and not the works of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is knocking on the door while we're so busy with all our wealth, activity, wonderful music, wonderful preaching and everything else. But we've become too busy for Jesus, shut him out. And he's standing at the door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You can have that fellowship. If we repent and open the door and say, sorry, Jesus, come in. I'm really sorry I put you out. Come into my life now. Come into my church now. I want you to dine with me. I want to know your sweet presence. I want to know your Holy Spirit and everything I do. And I want to know the beauty and the presence of holiness. And then it finishes with this in Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father on his throne. Isn't that wonderful to be seated with Christ in heavenly places for those who overcome? Now, there are many today, although the Bible says when we're born again, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, who are not actually seated with Christ in heavenly places because they've fallen from grace. They've shut Christ out and they've fallen into the gutter, and into the mud and the mire. And although they dress nicely, although they speak nicely, and although it's a wonderful front with wealth and everything else, they're in the mud. And God can see that mud they're in. And he's saying to those, to everyone today, to him who overcomes, get out of the mud, repent, and let God raise you up into heavenly place so you can seat with Christ there and get back into the position you're meant to be in, according to the word of God. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus never asks us to do what he hasn't done himself. He's been there, he's done it all. He's the captain of our salvation, made perfect through sufferings. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Spirit that spoke 2,000 years ago, he's speaking right now, this moment, to you and to your church. Thank you for listening.